Matty Fresh on the track up his state. And I'm bringing to you live my boys Alec and Nate. Tequila Ty, Jay Nelly, and Zillin in the building. So kick it back, pour the drink. We chillin' because I'm boozing and bitten and ballin' like I'm 2-6 in the blue kicks. Watch me move quick. Yeah, this the blueprint. So who's getting involved? Welcome into the show. This is Booze, Bets, and Ball, baby.
And welcome back to Booze, Bets, and Ball, a Penn State football podcast brought to you by Big Banter. I'm happy to be joined today by Michael from the Leo podcast of Big Banter, the Indiana podcast of the group. So, Michael, thanks for coming on. Thought I'd start with, you can let everyone know where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You guys can find us anywhere. It's just look up Leo podcast. Indiana football, you got to throw that in there. There's so many like astronomy podcasts and stuff that involve the Leo or Leo anagram. So just if check that out. I mean, we've got a website. It's not a whole lot going on there. Podcastleo.com, Twitter, Instagram, all at podcastleo. So it's a fun account to be on during the game for sure. I mean, really kind of outside of the game as well. We've got one guy that will live tweet everything during the game, which is great, and then interact with everybody as well. So it's a good spot to go to if you want to give us some crap. I'd prefer not to on Saturday because it's not gonna be great for us, and we already know that, so you don't have to pour it on. But yeah, there you go.
All right, really quick note before we move on, when Nate and I did the Ohio State Review podcast the other day, I forgot to mention that Penn State fell to 10 in the AP poll. So just wanted to get that out there. So let's get some game notes here quick that I have. Info, noon kick, but it's not on Fox. It's on CBS. The ESPN matchup predictor, Penn State, almost a 99% chance to win at 98 there. The line as of today on Wednesday night was Penn State by 32. And the weather was high of 73, mainly cloudy. I saw there was a chance of showers, too. About Indiana, 2-5 this year, 0-4 in Big Ten play, I believe. Almost 18 points a game, 311 yards per game, 29 points allowed per game, 366 yards allowed per game. And, Michael, I guess you could tell this better than me, but Brendan Sorsby now the quarterback there full-time.
Yeah, the quarterback situation has been kind of a joke. I'm full supporter of either one of the guys that plays. They both are so similar that it kind of doesn't really matter. Sorsby, I guess, is more of a guy that's going to make some plays with his feet, can scramble out of the pocket a little bit better than what Taven Jackson can. Taven Jackson's got a bigger arm, but again, the quarterback situation has been a huge mess. And with the offensive coordinator position being an even bigger mess, it's hard to kind of pinpoint where they wanted to be.
Right.
Last week was the first game, I want to say all season, where they've sat down with one quarterback the entire game. Usually it's kind of you could take Michigan, for example. That was the first game with Rod Carey at offensive coordinator. He went two series with Taven Jackson, put Brendan Sorsby in. He ran 7 or 8 series, and then Taven came back in. And then they decided on Sorsby moving forward. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, so Indiana, they were the first Big Ten team, I think, to fire a coordinator this year, right?
It was bad. Yeah, it's getting worse. It's kind of, and I don't know, I doubt you listened to our Rutgers post-game podcast, but it was basically nothing about the actual game and more about just basically burning it down and starting it all over. The Tom Allen experiment in general right now is trending into like the dumpster. Like it's really, really bad. I think that he's worn out his friendly welcome, I guess, amongst a lot of the fan base. Obviously our podcast is kind of based around his mantra of love each other, and so it's a tough place for us to be, but after watching what we considered to be our Super Bowl so far this season last week turn into that was a tough swallow.
Yeah, I'm sure it doesn't help either that Michael Penix all of a sudden is. I mean, it hurts us too in a way because after the whole 2-point conversion thing, and then seeing him kind of still in college going off is been kind of crazy yeah. to see, honestly.
Yeah, and I don't know how much people really follow that whole story. Is that, you know, his biggest year was with his current head coach, but mm-hmm. his current head coach was an IU offensive coordinator. And so they kind of, you know, and then he went to Fresno. I think he was at Fresno for 2 years or a year as a head coach, and then took the Washington job and then took Penix. But I mean, it was time for him to move on, whether it was to the NFL or to a different school, just because we couldn't keep him healthy. And there's some other stuff that came out.
Yeah.
Dig into that too. So,
yeah. You know, I did want to talk about the defense, honestly, because through the first 4 weeks there, they actually looked like a pretty solid group. I mean, they held Ohio State to 23. Penn State held them to 20. So, you know, not a huge difference in how they played, you know, one of the top two teams in the Big Ten. But then the last 3 weeks, 44, 52, 31. Obviously, Michigan's in that mix, so it's hard to mm-hmm. put a lot into that. But also Maryland and Rutgers. So what's kind of gone on with the defense? Because it looked like a really solid unit, honestly, the first few weeks of the season.
So there's a decent amount, and it's going to sound a little bit apologetic on my end, but there's a decent amount of these scores, or a lot of, outside of the Michigan game, really, but a lot of this stuff has been set up by either poor execution on offense, yeah. Turnovers from the offense, putting the defense in terrible positioning. Or if you look at last week, there was a blocked punt for a touchdown, and right before the half, Jalen Lucas fumbled a punt return that put him in with, I think it was 40 seconds left for a field goal. So, I mean, really, you go back to last week, you know, against and this is going to blow your mind if you haven't looked up their stats, against a Rutgers team that's top 10 in the country in total defense. Yeah. The offense had come out, put up 14 points. The defense had held them to 7 on the defense. And it's skewing a lot of their stats. If you look at where IU is, they're about middle of the road in college football as far as 58th, I think, total defense. But they're just put in a lot of bad spots. And so the points per game have gone through the roof. But I think really the best one for you to look at for like a good rating on the defense is probably the Louisville game. That game, I think the 21-14 was the final.
Yeah.
And it was all in the first half from Louisville, and the defense made huge adjustments, and they looked great. But there were some good players on defense. There's not a ton. I mean, it's not like Penn State's defense at all, where you're going to have a bunch of pros, but there are, you know, potentially 3 NFL draft picks maybe this year on that defense that can make big plays whenever they're available. But it's just been really tough when you're on the field so much. And I think time of possession against Rutgers, if I'm let's look this up real quick, I think it was something crazy. Let's look this up real fast. This is really good podcasting. It's going to take a minute. It doesn't. Oh, here it is right here. Okay. So if we look at time of possession and how long this team was on the field, it's crazy. I mean, it was almost 40 minutes, 37 minutes for Rutgers on the field on offense. And that's a run offense. And yeah, they were just put in a bad spot. Rutgers is a terrible offense in general.
Yeah.
And to give up 31, again, 10 of it coming from special teams, is just, it's hard to pin it on the defense.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's kind of, we feel about, you know, Penn State gave up 20 to Ohio State last week, and we feel like the offense still made them look bad because, you know, they could not stay on the field. They couldn't convert a third down. So I definitely understand that. I wanted to talk about, I guess, sticking on defense, the two guys with the AC initials, Aaron Casey, Andre Carter, kind of seem to be kind of the two leaders on that defense. Penn State's a little banged up on mostly the interior of the offensive line right now. You know, what can they bring to the table?
So Aaron Casey had a bad game last week. He had probably the worst game I've seen him have in an IU uniform. He is an all-around linebacker. He's not great in coverage, but as far as run stuffing, rushing the passer, just playmakers sideline to sideline. That's a guy that you're going to see all over the field. He's really, really good. I mean, you can go back and watch the tape. Some of his best performances were against Ohio State and Louisville for sure. I'm trying to think. He had a couple plays early against Michigan too, where he's been pretty good against the run. Andre Carter, stat-wise, has been, you're not going to find anything crazy on him. I mean, especially if you go searching for where's his sacks, where's everything else. Just watch Saturday, though, everything will go away from him because he is an absolute monster of a human being. Like, he is huge. I've seen him. Just I've stood right next to him, and I'm not small. I'm 6'2". He's 6'5", 280, and just pure rock. And the guy can make plays off the edge if given time, but a lot of times he's been facing double teams and runs away from him. But he's also somebody that can get in the backfield and cause some trouble.
Yeah. I guess flipping to the other side then, I know I've been looking through the stats of the Indiana offense, and honestly it looks like Jalen Lucas, the running back, is actually the leading receiver in terms of touches, receptions with 29. But I want to start with the offensive line because Penn State's probably going to be without two of their top four defensive ends. Chop Robinson seemed to have some kind of medical episode during the game against Ohio State. And then Amin Vanover was banged up, limited. So, you know, they're a little shorter at the DN spot. It's going to be Denai Dennis Sutton, Adis Isaac starting with Soraya Fisher and Jameel Lyons, a true freshman, backing them up. So, I know it was a problem last year, but is the Indiana offensive line a little improved this year?
It's much more improved this year. They made another weird coordinator change in the middle of the year last year and got rid of the offensive line coach last year, and actually made Rod Carey, who has kind of been just kind of hanging out as an associate coach, the offensive line coach the rest of the season last year, which immediately made some improvements. And then they brought in a coach from Wisconsin, Bob Bostad is his last name.
Yeah.
And he's made a huge difference. I mean, not only in recruiting, but in overall performance. Are they up to par from like 2013, 14, 15 IU? No, they're not there, but they're much better than what we've seen probably the last 4 years or so.
Yeah. And quickly, let's just touch on Jalen Lucas. I'm interested what he brings to the table. 55 carries, 29 receptions. That's a pretty good workload through seven games.
You're going to see him. You're going to see him everywhere. He is the guy that IU wants to get the ball in his hands. He's a scat back, Darren Sproles-y kind of. Just straight playmaker. He's not anybody that's going to cause you issues down the field. IU's got some big wide receivers. They've got Cam Camper, who's I think he's 6'3". They've got Donovan McCauley, a 6'5" quarterback turned wide receiver, who's a freak athlete. The problem with our wide receiver room and the reason Jalen Lucas has seen the ball so much, both running and receiving, is that the offensive creativity and offensive, availability to open the playbook has been so limited by switching quarterbacks and coordinators.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see kind of how Rod Carey, who's now the offensive coordinator, he's a former, I don't know if anybody's going to know who he is, but if you remember when Northern Illinois was like in the Orange Bowl, like,
okay,
crazy. Yeah. He was their head coach for a while there. They went to Temple, and then Temple templed on him. And so now he is where he is. He's done some other stuff. So he's had some good offenses in his past. And he's shown that he's kind of put a little bit of a different spin on what we have. But I think doing that midseason, you're not going to get a big difference. So I don't expect to see too much from Cam Camper or Donovan McCauley on the outside. I just see it. You're going to see a bunch of 12. A bunch of Jalen Lucas. There is one thing when we talked about quarterback, I didn't talk about it. We lost the one guy, the one spark last year in Dexter Williams right at the end of the season against Purdue, where his knee essentially exploded. and he is back in full uniform and on the sidelines. Okay. Nobody knows if he's going to be available or not, but that may be somebody to keep an eye out for too. That he is much better than either one of the two.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got into the Penn State game last year at the end.
I want to say number five is a major running quarterback. Yeah. With a little bit. He's got an arm. They just don't tend to throw it too much with him.
Yeah, I think I do remember seeing him. I guess the last thing to touch on here is this line, which I feel is way too big. I'm sure you remember in 2019, Indiana came to Penn State, and it was, I think, 34-27 or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Penn State was coming off a loss at Minnesota and then had Ohio State the next week or something like that. It was a very bad spot of the schedule to have them. And I think that Indiana team was a lot better than this one for sure. I think what they won 7 or 8 games that year, but
yeah,
still like noon coming back home. It's gonna be a little sleepy after losing to Ohio State. Penn State traditionally struggles after their first loss of the year. I think that is a lot. I don't know what you think, but for me that might be like 5 or 7 points too much.
I'm putting my house on it. Okay. I think it's enough. 32 is enough. It's not great. I'll just go through some of our, we just did our pod. And so our original predictions, and we kind of went through the history of the difference. And I don't know if you've seen this or not, but really whenever Penn State plays at IU, I think the average points per game is like 6 points as far as the difference between the two teams.
No, yeah, I've seen it.
In Happy Valley, it's about 21.5. So originally, like, we were around, you know, 22, 25, 17 point difference between all these. Now they're 31, 41, and 38 across the board. So, I mean, the 45-7, 47-6 is one of them. I mean, we're not expecting anything close. Until we can see our offense do anything that resembles an actual competent offense, it's hard for us to have any sort of faith. Like we are in the dumpsters right now. Like we are in a bad spot as a podcast and as a fan base. The good thing is, and if there is any hope left in the season, and it's kind of disgusting to even make myself think like this, is the rest of the schedule is favorable if we can find any sort of ground on Saturday to build from. I mean, you've got Wisconsin at home, at Illinois, Michigan State at home, and at Purdue to finish. So it's like pretty,
yeah, I mean,
crappy teams the rest, yeah, of the way. So if they can do anything on Saturday, and I wouldn't put past like a quick start similar to what we did in Michigan,
mm-hmm,
And maintain any of that. I'm not anywhere near expecting any sort of win, but to keep anything close or give any sort of momentum going into this next game would be a big boost.
Yeah. And you know, that's a good point. Indiana has 5 losses, but it's Ohio State, Michigan, Maryland, and Louisville are 4 of them. Like, you know,
yeah,
if you're going to say you have 4, you know, a team has 4 good losses, I put those 4 up against pretty much anyone in the country at this point of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is an interesting dynamic that they could have 6 losses, but 5 of them are to teams that have been ranked at some point in this season. And then you could honestly, I know it's a long shot, but still backdoor into a bowl game there with
it is. Yeah. It is just me being probably one of the most optimistic IU football fans you'll ever meet, and me being just kind of stupid at the same time. So,
no, I get it. I mean, we would be doing the same thing. Trust me, we're still finding ways to make the playoff, which I don't think will happen. But
if this helps your confidence at all, we all of us on the podcast, we did kind of a preseason Big Ten run through, and I think we all had Penn State at 11-1 and all losing that game on Saturday. So nothing to worry about. Don't worry about it. You'll beat Michigan in a couple weeks. And then I forget the rest of the scenario. I think Michigan beats Ohio State and you guys get in. There's like a whole thing. It's a weird Seth thing. There's like a whole,
yeah,
our producer has like a whole algorithm of how you guys get in, and when everybody's 11-1 or something at the end of the season, however it works out, I can't remember.
So. Yeah, I'll tell you. So it's kind of, I think it's the win percentage of the teams you played in the Big Ten West.
Yeah,
in
the crossover. Yeah.
The Cooper DeJean, fair catch controversy really hurt Penn State, because Penn State is the only one of those three that played Iowa this year. So that was a little devastating, honestly, but kind of a big blow on top of coming out of seeing Penn State lose, and then that happened. But we'll see what Michigan looks like actually in a couple weeks. So
there, I take the under in the game whenever you guys match up with them, because their defense is insane and your defense is insane.
Yeah. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Michael, thank you for giving us an insight on Indiana. I know it's not always fun to talk about struggling seasons, but I do appreciate you coming on, giving everyone a little insight for this game.
Yeah, for sure, man. Thank you for having me on.
You got it. All right. And we will see you next week with a review of this, and then look forward to Maryland. So we'll see you next week. So-